The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we will pick up in verse 18 as we finish our thought on the Lord's power over our bodies. But first, a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. And I ask now for your help, that you would impress your truth upon the hearts of the hearers today. Give liberty, give clarity, give authority for this preaching time, and may everything be for the glory of Christ and Him alone. For it is in Jesus' name that I pray, amen and amen. We look now to chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now we are looking at this thought, the Lord's power over our bodies. In verses 15 through 17, God's power is to be recognized by the believer. Paul reminds them in Corinth, and we are thus reminded of the reality of the union that the believer holds with Christ after the new birth and that spiritual baptism into the body of Christ. We have been joined unto the Lord, and we are one spirit. But then there is not only this power needs to be recognized, but it needs to be revered. And this gives us the body's devotion. We discussed last time the command, flee, vanish or disappear into thin air, run as fast and as far as you can from sexual sin and the temptation to do so. The corruption, he said to flee fornication. A simple definition is acting married when you're not. Jesus our Lord said in Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And we discovered, just by the word study of the word fornication, that fornication involves not just the body, but the mind. And of course, our Lord said adultery is just as bad in the heart as in the body. To look and to lust is to commit fornication and adultery in the heart. Now, commentator Albert Barnes has this to say on verse 18. Flee fornication, a solemn command of God, as explicit as any that thundered from Mount Sinai. None can disregard it with impunity. None can violate it without being exposed to the awful vengeance of the Almighty. There is force and emphasis in the word flee. Man should escape from it. He should not stay to reason about it, to debate the matter, or even to contend with his propensities, and to try the strength of his virtue. There are some sins which a man can resist, some about which he can reason without danger of pollution. But this is a sin where a man is safe only when he flies, free from pollution only when he refuses to entertain a thought of it, secure when he seeks a victory by flight and a conquest by retreat. Let a man turn away from it without reflection on it, and he is safe. Let him think and reason, and he may be ruined. The very passage of an impure thought through the mind leaves pollution behind it. An argument on the subject often leaves pollution. A description ruins, and even the presentation of motives against it may often fix the mind with dangerous inclination on the crime. There is no way of avoiding the pollution but in the manner prescribed by Paul. There is no man safe who will not follow his direction. How many a young man would be saved from poverty, want, disease, curses, tears, and hell could these two words be made to blaze before him like the writing before the astonished eyes of Belshazzar in Daniel 5, 1 through 31, and could they terrify him from even the momentary contemplation of the crime? I say amen to those words, and may God emblazon these words before my eyes and yours, and write them indelibly upon our hearts. Not only should God's power be recognized and revered, but we should understand that His power can be refused. The body's distinction, we are united with Him. The body's devotion, we ought to flee fornication. But now, the body's desecration. There is first the truth about all sinful deeds. Look again at verse 18, please. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. The deeds that issue forth from man's sinful desires are without the body. That is, they are not against the body. They do affect our bodies, but most often the worst and most damage is done to the mind. That is true of all sinful deeds. But now we see the truth about a serious danger. But, in the middle of verse 18, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. The sin of fornication is not only with the body, but against the body. A man does severe damage to his body when he commits this awful sin. The body is robbed of its purity and virtue, stripped of its dignity and honor. The once clean body is now defiled and scarred with sin. Fornication leaves a trail of ruin behind it, and it leaves the whole person affected. It leaves behind physical, mental, and emotional scars, sorrows, memories that will haunt you. I can recall with great sadness the life of a co-worker of mine. As a young man, not even 20, working at the local Walmart. My brother and I began to witness to this young man, warning him of the dangers of fornication. He was not saved. He paid no mind to our witness. He paid no mind to our warnings, and eventually he and the young lady, through this awful sin, though obviously unknown to us at the time, committed fornication. We continued to plead with him to turn away from his sin and come to the Lord for salvation. After a while, he actually attended church with the very girl with whom he was in sin. She claimed to know God, though her life showed the opposite. That is, she gave no proof of being born again. But this young man came one day to my brother and I with joy and peace, a smile on his face, and he shared what God had done in his life with my brother and I. He had been saved. We rejoiced with him. We cautioned him. We urged him to break off his relationship with this girl immediately and run wholeheartedly after Christ. He followed our advice, broke away from this companion, but she pressed upon him frequently. Sounds a lot like Samson and Delilah. And eventually, he succumbed to her temptation, and he fell back into the sin of fornication. He came to us with great sobs and trembles one evening at work, telling us what he had done, asking us for help. We prayed with him, told him to confess his sins before God, renounce the sin, repent, and run away, and God would restore fellowship according to 1 John 1:9. He did not do so sincerely. He continued on in this sinful relationship. It was not long until the news came he had been tragically killed. I cannot say for sure, but I do believe this young man committed that sin unto death and was taken home early. Here was a man in his early 20s. He had recently been saved, walked away from his sin, but instead of running when the temptation came back again, he fell back into sin, and God required his life from him. I can remember the agonizing look in his eyes as he shared with us the mental and physical torment he suffered night after night and day after day after having committed this sin before he was saved. And oh, the strength of the temptation even after he was saved, because he had sinned so against his own body. I must admit, and I thank God, that it put great fear in me in those days. And I pray even now, Lord, put a holy and dreadful fear in me of sinning against Thee, especially in this area of fornication and adultery. O Lord, protect me, preserve me, purify me for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll have to get into the rest of this chapter next time together. Until then, may the Lord bless your life. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's Word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.